What shocks me is that he's still making movies that are getting released today. Not anything against him, but I'm like, is he really that financially like profitable?
Yeah, I'm sure he must be. It's the same people who keep buying Steven Seagal movies. Like they see, well, I mean, he's not on the same level as Steven Seagal, or rather, Steven Seagal's not on the same level as,
no,
as Van Damme.
I was going to say, how dare you?
No. But I mean, like people buy.
Seagal had like one movie. Okay, two good movies.
I make the comparison because people buy the movie just because that particular action star is in the movie.
I know. It's funny to me. I just find it interesting. Because you would think I'd be that guy. Like, I'm going to buy everything that so-and-so puts out. But it's like...
You are that guy.
Well, it depends on who it is. It depends on who... It used to be with Arnold, but even then, he was putting out, like... I'm like, what? What's this movie? You're a firefighter in this now? I'm no thanks.
Did you ever see Escape Plan 2 or whatever?
Oh,
or
I saw...
Escape Plan 3?
Electric Boogaloo?
Not three. No, the one with Stallone only on the cover and name only, where he's in it for like 10 minutes. No, I'm not fucking watching that. Batista's in it, though, I think.
How you going to die?
Unfortunately, that is not in the beginning of the home video presentation of Kickboxer, because Lionsgate released it. So the Canon logo is not present in the version that I watched.
Nor in the version that I watched.
No, it's not. It's
this
not,
isn't
it's not,
this yeah. isn't even a true canon film because they just distributed it. They didn't produce it. But it's fine. We're talking about it anyway.
It still counts as canon. Canon. The logo's on the poster.
Waka waka.
It's on the VHS if you look at the VHS. So that's really what makes a canon movie.
If it's on the video cassette.
I mean, I was
cover.
Only going to differentiate so much in narrowing the list down.
No, totally, dude. No, like I said, it's on the VHS. It's a canon movie. That's how I wonder how much one of those costs now.
I'm going to go on Amazon.com. I'm going to order Loisos some beard balm so he can start shaping that thing into the razor sharp point he's going to have hanging off of his chin in like 2 months.
Dude, I already have a bunch that he can have for free. I've got beard wash. I've got beard scrub and shit that I get. Like, every year, like, I'll get, like, this huge set of, like, manscaping stuff. And I don't have a full beard anymore. The wife won't ever allow that. So you can have all of it.
I don't know if I'll get to that point.
You'll get to that point. Literally.
Dude, we're going to be in confinement for, like, the next fucking year. Just keep growing that shit.
You're staying in confinement. I don't care how long this coronavirus thing lasts. You're staying in confinement until you get that perfect sharp point of a beard pointing down off of your chin. It's happening.
Oh, boy.
It's happening. Now we've gotten a taste of it. You're never allowed to go back.
I'm really itchy, though.
You should be past that point already. I don't know.
It's like tickling my lips.
You're just not used to it. That's all.
I got to do this live for Justin to hear. Oh, it didn't even barely make a sound.
It made a sound. You were talking over it, though.
Psst. It was like a little psst.
See, now I haven't decided. I have beer in the fridge, but I think I'm still going to stick with my vodka and soda.
I'm
going to
decide for you. Fuck you.
Let me have a vodka and soda first, then I'll figure it out. Because I think I told you. I tried telling you last week, but I think I never got it through.
I don't listen to you when you talk.
That I bought a bunch of Aslan for me and the wife to drink, and she only had two, and then I had like three, and then I was like, "Oh, I'm not feeling this," and then
you
I stopped
fucking
drinking.
Pile of shit,
because it was weird just drinking beer by myself.
Loisos, definitely peer pressure him, make him do it.
Justin, do it.
Well, yeah. You need to have some because today's National Beer Day, so you have no excuse. Because you don't care about what goes into your body.
I also have no beer.
Your mom doesn't have an IPA in the fridge? Yes. See? Yes, please. You're like, Mom, I need an IPA. It's a National Beer Day. You need to.
I just had a whole box of Easter Peeps.
Dude, you're totally going to drink a beer out of your National Beer Day.
You should have saved one. You could have floated it around in the glass.
See, you're just like my kid. See, Easter Peeps, she's sitting over here eating those freaking little Robin's Eggs things or whatever they are, the Cadbury Egg things.
Mm.
The little ones.
Yes.
You know what they are. They get them every year. You've had them.
Of course.
Man alive.
They both watched Kickboxer with me, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is pretty. I've still got plenty of this left, so I'm going to talk about it later whenever you guys are ready. But happy National Beer Day from your friends here at the Epic Film Guys podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to play it just because.
I'm back. Puke and rally.
We need to play the soundtrack.
Give me a beer.
So we'll talk more about it later. Whenever Justin mans up.
See, I do miss that, but then it's like I miss. I think I miss the idea of it more than I do the actual drinking of the beer. I like the taste of it, but after I have one, I'm like, I can't see how I was drinking like three or four of those things a night, or even more than that.
Oh, I couldn't either. I couldn't.
I don't know how I would do it, like, because it's so heavy and like it just makes me feel so, you know, pulled down and fat,
drowsy,
and like it doesn't give me the energy. Like anyone that's listened to this show for a long time knows that. We'd be high energy on the show, and I'd be drinking like two or three, sometimes four or five double IPAs, triple IPAs, you know, and I was like all over the place. And now when I have one, I'm like, I'm ready for bed. I don't know.
I'm gonna play you got with the that. Canned laughter.
I'm going to play with that all the fucking time now.
whenever someone makes an ungodly pun.
I mean,
like that this canon movie is canon.
Wait, see, now we just need to continue off of what we were working on last week. So, Loy Sauce.
That's a lot of cum.
Oh, what do I say?
God damn.
So he already forgot his own catchphrase.
You're so bad at this. Hang on. I know what he needs. Okay, I ready?
Pack them in real good and tight.
What is it that I'm supposed to say? Am I supposed to repeat it back? I want to help you.
I'm going to get a drink real quick.
0.0.
God
zero.
Damn it, Loy Sauce. You don't remember your catchphrase from last week?
My poor little brain don't work so good anymore.
Is this what happens when you don't have to go into work anymore? You're just completely disconnected from all of your like synaptic functions?
Pretty much, yeah, actually.
Damn it.
I wish you'd get out of my life and shut up.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to practice one more time. Ready? I'll give you a clue.
Okay, tell me what I'm supposed to say.
I'll give you a clue. Big Bang Theory.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, so are you ready now? Are you
ready?
Can you handle that? Okay? Okay,
yes.
Here we go.
Now you're going down.
Bazinga.
There it is. See? It was our perfect sitcom moment that we had to, like, soul-crushingly stage. It's kind of, I figure that was like an episode of the Big Bang Theory. Like, it was really long and excruciatingly drawn out and not funny for anybody involved.
Oh, it was funny for the actors because they were laughing all the way to the bank.
True. It's like, guys, we're on CBS. 60-year-olds think we're funny.
Do you know how much money Jim Parsons has?
A dumb amount of money. A really dumb amount. A really dumb amount. Oh, my God. So we got Kickboxer. We don't have anything else, really. Again,
no.
Just Kickboxer. I don't think there's anything else. I mean, we could mention movies that get postponed, but I mean, it's a foregone conclusion that anything that had a release date coming up in the spring or summer is going to get postponed anyway.
Right.
And then a lot of movie studios are just going to start like reactionary kind of shifting of titles and things of that nature anyway. So it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Lies want you to get me drunk right now.
The Hopester's here for all of it.
I miss the Hopester.
But you just heard him. He's right there.
Hey, you over there.
See? He's right there.
But he's not here with me.
Aw. He'd be confused if he saw you now, because now you don't look like a young pup anymore.
Now I look like a like his brother or something. Or like his cousin.
Like his brother. If you've been remembering to bathe, you won't smell like his brother.
Boy Sauce, have you taken a bath today? I know I have to ask you every week.
Yes, I've taken a shower today. Yes, Dad.
Listen, I gotta make sure. You know?
Now you go and die.
I made sure to actually, I knew we were recording tonight, and no, I see nobody.
You're not my dad.
Except for my friends at Starbucks, because I still go through the drive-thru every single day to get my coffee in the morning. But,
Justin, you know that I'm metrosexual and I practice good hygiene. You know that about me.
Do I?
You gotta squirt that freely.
Yes.
You also know that I'm over-the-top metrosexual and think so highly of myself that even if I'm going to look at myself in the mirror once a day, I need to primp for myself, so...
I know that you're over-the-top homosexual, too.
That's entirely...
It's
possibly...
There's never been a better mobile... I can't ever play it again, because nothing's going to top that one.
I mean, listen.
And I was going to be like, you're not over-the-top heterosexual, but Loisos wanted to swing for the fences, so by God, we let him.
Which was it? Was it the Golden Globes that you came over? That you were so hammered, your head was on my lap, and you were like, let me do it. Come on, please.
He said that he sucked the blood from the penis and put the balls in his mouth.
Like, let the record show that this never happened. This is
look at his
complete,
face.
Complete fabrication.
Look at his face. Events. He I can't even keep a straight night. Face.
Oh my god.
I sucked your dick last night.
Jeez. I knew I was gonna see you guys, so I did shave. I went took a shower. I did my hair up. And I like Nick, you look nice, by the way. You have a nice haircut. You did that yourself.
Chopped it right off earlier today.
How see, I don't get you're doing your own hair like that, but it looks like you got it cut at a fucking barber, so you must be like a really precise hair cutter person.
It's dude hair, and I don't try to do anything with it aside from just I mean, okay, so I did like on the clipper. It has the fade setting, so you can taper it around your ears.
Yeah,
so it's like
closer
around the ears, like down toward, and then it gets a little bit heavier up toward the top of my head. And then I took like the three thing, and I did like the sides and the back of my head, kind of coming up the back of my head with the three, and then like the front is the five level. These are like the little trimmer guard things on the clipper.
Yeah.
So it's longer in the front than it is in the back. I kind of tapered it purposefully.
So that's what I'm saying, though. Like, you know how to do that. You have the skill set to do that.
I know how to remove a guard from the clipper and put another one on it, yes.
But it looks even. Like, I've been telling the wife, I'm like, I might just shave my head, dude.
But then she really will break the OLED, and then what will you do?
Listen, that OLED, if it ever gets broken, I'm fucking leaving. I'll blame you for it. I'm quitting the show. And then I'm leaving here. I can't live without that thing.
What a story,
you kidding
Mark.
Me? I'm so obsessed with this thing that I'm calling people out on Instagram for watching movies in the wrong aspect ratio. I'm just obsessed. Something's wrong with me. I'm getting sick. This
Daddy's
solitary confinement.
With the belt now.
It's making me obsessed. I don't know what to do with myself. Seriously. Boy Sauce, help me. Come over here. You know you're not sick.
I would be very nervous about bringing my infected self over to your house and infecting your family.
What are you infected with besides sexual magnetism?
And your doggos. Well, for all I know, I could have the coronavirus. We don't know.
I mean, this is what we need to do. Nick, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but Boy Sauce, he doesn't know how to ride a bicycle. Like, he doesn't know how to ride a bike.
No one ever taught me how.
So, I'm going to get a new bike because the bike that I have, I guess, is going to cost too much to repair. Because I'm telling you, it's been so beautiful out. I'm like, riding bikes are fine. I want a form of cardio that I enjoy, and I want to be able to go out and do stuff outside. So, I was telling him, you should get a bike. Wear a fucking mask. We could ride separately, 6 feet apart, and you're good. I'll show you how to ride a bike.
You're not my dad.
But I'm going to keep trying to be, okay? All right.
I don't think there's ever been a more perfect time to use that.
If I don't get, there better be video footage in the Hobster's dumpster. Like, get Danielle to shoot it of, you know, Loy Sauce sitting, you know, gripping the handlebars tightly on the bike and Justin behind the bike and slowly pushing him until he lets go of the bike. And then Justin's just sitting there be like, you're doing it. You're doing it. And Loy Sauce just rides like 6 feet and he's like, dad, I'm doing it. And then the bike falls over.
And I fall into a bush or something.
Exactly.
I don't think you'll need training wheels. I mean, at your age, come on.
No, my balance is so that I don't need training wheels. I know that for a fact. I'm sure if once I get on a bike, I'll be fine. But no one's ever taken the time to actually like show me how to ride a bike.
Can I ask you a question without you taking offense? I mean, how horrible are your parents that no one would teach you how to ride a bike? Come on.
You're not my dad.
Well, my dad got me a bike with training wheels, but we never took the training wheels off. And I don't exactly know why that is.
I was going to say, did he buy the bike and then set it on fire in the yard and say, fuck you, you're never riding this?
No, I don't remember, because I remember riding the bike with training wheels around. We just never took the training wheels off. I don't know.
That usually means that they don't think you're ready to ride without the training wheels.
No, I think my dad just wasn't interested in teaching me how to ride a bike.
He falls over, then he's going to get hurt, then I'm going to have to deal with him.
A lot of things that like you would think that fathers would teach their sons, my dad never taught me. Like, he didn't teach me how to shave or any of that.
Well, good, because you're never shaving again. We've already discussed this on the show. This is never happening ever again, no matter what. Ladies and gentlemen, you should see him. I posted a screenshot over in the Hobster's Dumpster, the fan group over on Facebook. Head over to Facebook. If you're not already a member of the Hobster's Dumpster, please head over there and stare at the absolute gloriousness that is his D'Artagnan beard. That soul patch is coming in nice and dark now. That's like the musketeer soul patch. It's just perfect. Have you been training? Have you been fencing yet? Have you started your training yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't found a hat with a big enough feather either.
I mean, that we can rectify.
God damn it, Nick. Every single time you pick a screenshot with me with my mouth open.
I'm only looking at the sauce when I'm taking the screenshot. I'm not looking at you. Nobody's interested in looking at you, god damn it. They're interested in all that is man here. That's what they want. I got to give the people what they want.
They don't know what they want. I'll show them.
I'll tell you what I want. I want people to go, remember like a month ago, I didn't even know what fucking Podchaser was.
Yeah.
But anyway, Podchaser's a thing. And your show, if you have a podcast, you're on Podchaser. So find your show on Podchaser if you haven't already, podcasters of the world. Claim it. And then start leaving reviews. And this goes for listeners as well. Leave reviews for other shows. And for episodes, you can even leave reviews for episodes. Every single review that you leave between now, whenever you hear this, which would be hopefully tomorrow. I'm going to try to buzz the pre-roll out real quick. Whenever you hear this, get reviews up on Podchaser. They're donating 25 cents for every single review to Meals on Wheels to their COVID-19 response fund. And every reply that they get, they double it. So if I reply to your comment, I reply to your review, then it's 50 cents to Meals on Wheels for their, again, their COVID-19 response plan to feed people in need during this crisis, this pandemic. Please, for the love of God, do it. I'm like screaming at people on Twitter and no one gives a fuck except for Dan and Randy. Like, please give a fuck. Please, just, you don't have to pay any money. You don't have to do anything. Just leave reviews. That's all you have to do. leave reviews for shows. Just do it.
I've never understood why it's such a big deal for people to do this. Like, listen,
I get spammed on Twitter. Like, I get so many different podcasts out there that spam like us in shows that I don't listen to, that I have nothing to do with, that I've never listened to, that I never will listen to, but spam me in comments on Twitter, tagging me, like wanting me to retweet their show. And like, I'm like replying to them. I'm like, fine, I'll retweet your show, but please go like do something to help hungry people. Like, it requires the least amount of effort on your part. Please go do it. Just please. Like, I mean, I know, like, I don't want to be a preachy guy. Like, I really don't, but it's a good
sure
thing to do. Okay,
don't.
I do a little bit. You know what? I do a little bit. Like, you know, get out there and
preach it out, brother.
Just do it. Like, every review you leave, that's all you have to do is just leave a review. Like, I was going through when I was, like, I listen to podcast playlists all the time, and I post them over to Twitter, like, when I'm listening to them, whatever I'm listening to. Today, as I'm listening through it, every single one that came up, I went over to Podchaser, and I just left a quick one sentence or a few word review of whatever episode of whatever show I was listening to, because that's another 25 cents to feed hungry people. Just, it's between now and April 15th. So by the time you hear this pre-roll, you will have a week to just get out there and just whatever, just put some money in those coffers. That's all you got to do. Just do it. Just please do it. Please do it. I beg you. Just something, whatever we can possibly do. Like, I really, really want to do anything that we can possibly do to help anybody or anything that needs help because of this pandemic. And like I said, it's Meals on Wheels. It's feeding hungry people.
Yeah, definitely get the fuck out there.
Do it.
I mean, you have literally no excuse. A large percentage of the country isn't working, and those that are, for the most part, are working from home. And most people are sitting on social media all day or watching fucking movies or whatever they're watching at home. I don't know. I saw Joey DiCarlo post like he's so hungry for sports, he's watching like old fucking sporting events online. I'm like, yeah, people, you're not getting your sports.
There's
you're not
lots
getting
of people do that. There's just nothing wrong with that.
I'm not hating. I'm saying that's how far people have gone into boredom with being in confinement. You have no excuse to say, I don't have the time to do this, which takes 2 seconds. That's
please,
what I'm saying.
Please just find the time to do it. And like I said, if nothing else, it's just a podcast aggregator. The more reviews you get, the more it's going to aggregate you, and hopefully you'll pick up some listeners from it. I don't care if we pick up listeners or not. I really don't care. I just want to do it because I think it's a good thing to do. And like the podcast community, like you post over on, you know, over on Twitter, you're like, hey, you know, if I'll review you on iTunes, if you review me on iTunes, like let's review swap or whatever. And you'll get people that'll throw themselves at it. Well, now's your chance to do that, but also raise money for charity when you do it. So just do it. Just please do it. For the love of God. It's the only time I'll say anything about it because it won't mean anything a week from now. But just please do it. Just please, please, please. Head over there. Do it. And like I said, listeners too, if you're listening to this, pre-roll's free. I decided I'm making pre-roll free because, you know, if people need to postpone or stall their Patreon, whatever, you know, the pre-roll for the pre-roll that we normally do for our patrons will be out there most of the time. At least most of the time we're doing this hashtag canon quarantine, unless Justin says something really racy and then I got to cut it out like he did last week. You guys don't even want to hear the stuff I cut. Oh, man. Whew. It was bad. It was real bad.
I don't even remember. Was it me trying to do an impression of someone and I saw Scott mad and said it was racist or something?
No, I think that was the week before, wasn't it?
That was the week before.
That was breaking too. Jerk Book.
I don't give a fuck.
Oh my god. But yeah, pre-rolls. So welcome not just patrons, but everybody listening, because I want to publish these over on the main feed on Podbean instead of publishing them on Patreon. Might as well aggregate all those numbers in one place. No. I tried to make an excited face, and Justin just stared at me blankly, probably like the look he's got in that screenshot over in the Hopester's dumpster.
I'm just going to keep a blank smile the entire time so you can't screen me over again.
He's going to download it, and he's going to take another screenshot of himself, and he's going to Photoshop it in there.
You know that I can edit your post, right? I can go in there and...
Wait, what did I post it under? Did I post it as myself or did I post it as Epic Film Guys?
I don't know, but you're doing some really weird, fishy shit with your social media.
What I do?
Did you create like a brand new account or something?
I didn't do nothing with my fucking social media. I'm not this mysterious random Justin Esquivel who shows up over in the dumpster.
That's seriously not even me, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, listen, they don't have any friends, they don't have any photos, and the only other thing they like is some Blu-ray thing that also you, Loy Sauce, and Patrick Schur would like. Those are the only two things besides Epic Film Guys that they like.
Do you know how many times I get friend requests from people that have the last name Esquivel on social media? Yeah.
Like I said, I'm all not the saying, time. You know, like I said, shenanigans are afoot. That's what I say. I say it's shenanigans.
Well, I saw earlier a notification that Nicholas Haskins asked to join the Hopester's dumpster, and I'm like, wait a minute. Isn't this dude already part? So who the fuck is this guy?
You're so full
of
shit. I'm
dead serious. I'll find it in the notifications and screenshot that shit and send it to you.
Jesus, get the fuck out
of here. Like, what's going on here? Look at your face. It's all red. I knew it. I'm calling all you bastards out tonight.
You're all riled up. Justin's in the dumpster trying to stuff the ballot box so he can get his Canon film to claim victory in the.
No. Listen.
What won, by the way? I can't remember.
Cobra fucking won.
Cobra won.
But my point was...
I was told I had to watch Ninja 3, like, no matter what. We should watch both of them anyway for next
week. Ninja 3 fucking rules. Cobra's one of my favorite Stallone movies ever. I was just trying to let our listeners know, let our fans know. Saucy,
we already talked about it.
Well, not in entirely full... detail-oriented fashion.
Not in canon quarantine fashion.
No, but we talked about it because we did a top 10 Sly Stallone flicks episode last year. And it's obviously going to make its way on both of our lists because Cobra fucking rules.
It sure does. It sure does, Justin.
Yeah, I mean, you're the disease, I'm the cure. Come on, it couldn't get any more badass than that. So yes, we'll talk about it again. And my main issue is if Nick shits on that movie, I'm probably going to have to... Another reason why I'll quit the show. You can't shit on Cobra. I just can't do it.
Listen, we started this podcast in July of 2015. You've been threatening to quit this podcast since roughly July of 2015.
I mean, what else would I do on my Monday nights? Honestly,
I don't know what you did yesterday because it's not Monday
or Tuesdays. Whenever you
That's
guys push it, I pushed it.
I actually pushed recording yesterday because I was not. I was so super sleepy. I had a very very rough weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Very very rough weekend. But I'm in better spirits today. I'm here.
Good.
I'm ready to kick and to box and to things.
Are you ready to dance awkwardly like Van Damme does in this film?
No, awkwardly. He's a great dancer. That scene is the best scene in the entire fucking movie. let's be clear about that. That scene rules.
I can't wait. Hang on. Justin, say that's the best scene in the film again.
That's the best scene in the entire fucking movie.
Never mind. I found a way to bring it back.
See, usually we would talk about what we did over the weekend, and apparently yours wasn't good, so I'm not going to ask you to get into detail. I'll tell you what I did, Saucy, and then you can tell me what you did.
What if I want to talk about mine?
Well,
don't censor me.
I mean, usually I don't have to ask you. You just open your big mouth and spit it all over me, so I'd... Okay.
You gotta squirt that freely, as somebody says.
You gotta squirt that freely.
What caused you to have a rough weekend then? Let's hear it. Spit it out.
I don't know. I really don't know what it was to be 100% honest. What caused it, I don't know. But I ended up in a wormhole in which I started up watching. First of all, I was watching sad scenes from movies. I was just randomly on Netflix watching through sad parts of movies, and then I started watching Marriage Story for some reason. Which, how that movie didn't win Oscars, I don't understand, because holy fuck is it good. But it's also, like, emotionally shattering for me right now. Like, not because I miss the ex-wife or anything, because I really, really don't. But, like, I don't know. Like, you know what? Like, it just, sometimes when you have spent as much time alone as I had even before Corona, you know, it just makes me feel... abandoned or like left alone or like isolated, you know, like sometimes I just sometimes and I, you know, listeners, you know, a lot of people will reach out to me often and talk to me, friends and listeners and whatnot. And it's really, really great. And I really, really, really appreciate it. But every once in a while, I will just feel isolated and alone. I really do. And I feel like I've abandoned and like given up on. And then when I feel like that, and when I'm drinking, and when I start watching a movie like Marriage Story, it's like a fucking emotional perfect storm. So I'm like George Clooney riding up the side of that tidal wave and shit. And yeah, that boat's just gone, man. So I was just like sitting here sobbing uncontrollably for like an hour.
Dude, you're doing the exact same thing that I used to do when I was having a hard time. I literally get drunk.
Sometimes you got to feel stuff, though.
Sit
you
know in my car and put on, you know, emo music and screamo that was like super emotional.
Like that's, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes
it's not a bad thing at all, man. You're releasing. Something. Yeah. It's a release. Yeah.
And, you know, then I slept way too late on Sunday. So like my sleep schedule was all fucked up and like everything was all fucked up. So, yeah, it was just a rough weekend. But I took yesterday. I wasn't ready to record yesterday because I hadn't watched Kickboxer, to be 100% honest, and I was exhausted. So I was just like, I can't get this movie in and have the energy to do the show. So,
I mean, Kickboxer has some sad scenes and I'm sure you would have cried a few times if you tried hard enough. There's a couple scenes with some emotional music and kiss and
there we go. Track in there. You know, it was an emotional weekend, and like I had to take another day yesterday, Monday, the normal recording day, to kind of recenter myself and get ready. But like, truth be told, I don't do a whole lot of, especially now that like this hashtag canon quarantine stuff, I have not had to do a whole lot of surface editing to it. I have to do post-production and things like that, but it's not complicated. It's really, really not hard. And the good thing is now that I'm working from home, I will, on breaks and on my lunches and stuff, I will pull up the raw audio tracks and I will do all the posts and I will start listening to them. Like I'll listen to them while I'm working. I'll listen to the raw audio tracks, like the raw combined tracks. And then on break and like at the end of my day, I'll go back in and edit. That's what I started doing since I started working from home. And it has already saved me like a ton of time. So it's already really, really nice in that regard as well. Plus I just, you know, I don't edit the show a whole lot anymore. Anyway, not these days. I cut out double takes and, you know, retakes, and if somebody flubs something then they stop, start, whatever, those kinds of things. But other than that, you know, I leave it in here. I let the listeners have it all. I give it all to them, every shining, glistening inch of it.
So, Saucy,
yes,
did you do anything over the weekend?
I don't remember what I did this morning, let alone.
Okay.
I feel like he sat and stared in a mirror and focused and was just like, grow to his beard, like, grow, grow. Like he had like a look like Jean-Claude Van Damme has in Kickboxer where he's like, like really like. Never mind. I'll stop talking.
I mean, aside from my, you know, daily routine and my daily walks and stuff like that, I've just been watching movies and doing the Corin screenings, the Alamo Ashburn Film Club Corin screenings.
Yeah, talk about those more. I think you need to talk about those on the main section of the show as well.
Well, I started doing them twice a week now because we have,
why not,
the Corins. Well, yeah, why not? And also to I guess to include the Alamo Drafthouse Virtual Cinema Initiative, along with what we had been doing previously, which was films from Netflix and Amazon Prime. So I'm doing the Netflix and Amazon Prime screenings, but I'm also adding on the Alamo Drafthouse Virtual Cinema, where people can buy a virtual ticket to a new movie that's available through the streaming platform. And that money goes directly to Alamo Drafthouse Northern Virginia locations. So it helps us out financially in the meantime while we're not open.
Which is good.
Which is great. So tomorrow night, which would be Wednesday, is our second virtual cinema film club screening of Extraordinary, which is it's a cute, quaint little horror comedy.
I want to see it.
That I saw at Alamo Drafthouse Winchester's Lost Weekend Film Festival. And I think it may have been because it was the last film of the festival and I just sat through like 16 other movies that I was just like ready to go home. So I'm anxious to watch it again, but it kind of rides that fine line between like raunchy and like sweet and charming. And it's kind of been compared to like What We Do in the Shadows and it's like Ghostbusters with like a small town Irish charm to it. So
trailer looked good to me. I was really excited because I saw, you know, Alamo before all this went down. You guys were playing the trailer a lot and it was supposed to be a regular film club screening. And I was really looking forward to seeing it.
It was not, but we did show it for about a week for like one showing a night.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, it's good. It's definitely worth watching and I hope people tune in tomorrow.
Please tune in.
Well, what I did over the weekend, I drove. The wife's like, let's get dressed like we normally would.
Get dressed.
Like look presentable and nice.
Clothes are overrated.
And then drive.
Pants are just a suggestion.
I mean, Sunday was fucking beautiful. So we drove to Winchester, which is a beautiful country Virginia drive, nice rolling hills. Saucy, you and I have done that drive on many occasions to go out to Winchester, Alamo. And on a Sunday morning with some coffee in hand and some good jams, the windows rolled down. It was just nice to feel like normal, like you weren't going to go anywhere in public. You just drove through the area and stuff and looked at stuff. I don't know. It made it feel like everything was okay. So that's what we did. And I did watch a bunch of movies over the weekend. I'm happy to say that Kaya really loved it. And I finally bought Little Women and watched it. And I fucking loved it. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, you fucking did.
And it was in 4K. With Dolby Vision. So listen, $14.99. This is a huge thing I need to make a big point about. This is stupid. Studios are making available digitally movies, proper resolution, but not releasing them on disc. Like, why is Little Women not available on 4K Ultra HD with Dolby Vision on disc? It's stupid. It makes no sense.
And also, why does it have the worst cover art of all time?
That's the same cover art that is included with me watching it digitally. But again, beautiful looking movie. Looks great. The transfer is amazing. Why is this not on disc?
Still criminal that Greta Gerwig did not get nominated for that film.
Dude. I could not stop thinking that after like the first 15 minutes of the movie. I'm like, what the fuck? I think they're testing her. They want to see what more she's going to be able to do. And I think that she has a lot in the cards.
So what's going to happen concerned. Is at future Academy Awards, as has happened 1,000 times in the past with other notable actors, writers, filmmakers, etc. She's going to win for something else because it's quote unquote her time. And not because exactly. It's the superior film that year or whatever else the case may be. Same reason why, and I'm sorry, I know people out there love, love, love Parasite, but Hollywood wanted Parasite to happen this year. That's the only reason why it cleaned house, period. Even if you give it Best Picture, like, you don't, you like, whatever. Like, you know, Hollywood wanted it to happen. That's why it happened.
Yeah. Are you insinuating that it wasn't deserving, Nick?
I think it was definitely deserving. It was definitely at least deserving to be part of the conversation, but Best Picture, Best Director, Best, like, everything that it won.
I know Loisos didn't think it was Best Picture material.
I think it's Best Picture material. I just didn't connect with it as much as most other people seem to.
I recall you sitting there next to me during the Oscars and you saying it shouldn't have won.
I don't think it should have won either.
Well, see, no, I can understand why it won, and I'm not mad that it won.
No, no, I get it.
It's not the film that I would have chose.
Exactly.
I'm not mad it won either. Like, it was a good film, and it was worthy of the award, but I think it won. I think it won less so because it was, like, the most deserving, but more so because, like Hollywood often wants to do, they wanted to make a statement.
And pat themselves on the back.
That statement's important. I don't disagree with the sentiment of that statement. I think it's important, but Hollywood loves to do that. They love to make pseudo-political statements with their whatever they want to do. And then, like Loisa said, pat themselves on the back for it. You know, same reason why, like, you know, they gave Kathryn Bigelow Best Director, what, way back for The Hurt Locker over 10 years ago? You know, and you've never had another serious female contender for Best Director. They gave a woman the award. Pat ourselves on the back. We did it. now. Yeah. Maybe we'll get another female nominee in 5 years.
Well, to be completely clear with you, I definitely don't see Little Women winning Best Picture last year.
I don't think it would have either.
I would have loved to see Gerwig win something.
I wanted her to be nominated at least in the directing category. I mean, writing wise, it's a great adaptation of the novel, so that's great. Yeah. But directing wise as well, that movie is very, very tightly directed. It 100% deserved to be
amazingly directed,
because that's vision.
I would say that she directed the shit out
absolutely.
Of it.
She definitely deserved to be part of that conversation. And there's other
Bazinga. See, I'm going to steal this because you're not properly utilizing.
That's what
it.
I got to do. I got to get a sound. I got to get the soundbite of him saying Bazinga on the soundboard. Then we don't have to rely on his memory.
Yeah, because he'll always forget. But another movie I watched over the weekend, which is extremely charming, very lovable and very enjoyable, was Disney and Pixar's Onward. I really much really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, because they put that on Disney Plus, right?
Yes, they did. Yeah. So I didn't have to. I mean, like a couple days earlier, I could rent it for $20. And I'm like, why would I do that? I'm already paying Disney everything, considering I just bought, you know, the OG Star Wars movies on 4K Ultra HD disc. And I'm like, I'm giving you too much fucking money, Disney. Please. And they're talking about in the news now that they're thinking about actually opening back up Disneyland and Disney World and doing testing on site in order to allow people into the parks. I'm like, dude, seriously, you own everything. You don't need that money. Leave people alone. And you know, if it's Disney, people will go too. They will go.
Okay, you're allowed to go to Disney, but you have to stay there. You can't leave.
Just leave okay fucking with Disney.
That. Anybody that wants to go to Disney has to be quarantined to the park.
If you're rich enough,
2 weeks.
Go ahead.
No, you know what? No, 2 weeks in Disney, I'd blow my brains out. I would never. Oh,
you
my
kidding
God.
Me? That's like the dream of my life.
Yeah, it's beautiful. No, it's amazing.
Ass.
I mean,
I'd blow my brains out.
No, seriously.
It's the happiest place on earth.
It totally is.
My pants are the happiest place on earth.
I've never, ever heard of anyone going and feeling that way. But if you're stuck there with a bunch of people right now, it would definitely be scary. But
listen, I went to Disney as a kid. Like, I don't have kids that are of a young enough age that they would enjoy it, and I would not get enough enjoyment out of it to go. Like, I would far more enjoy things like going to Universal or wherever else, like things like that that are
that's
more movie oriented.
Fair.
Like to go to like a Disney theme park is a great thing if you have a family and you want to like go with a family and whatnot. It's a very, very, very good thing for that. Because I had a blast when I was a kid. I really did. I would not now as an adult, because I would go by myself, or I would take my two. Like, well, my one son is, you know, almost an adult, and my other son is an adult. Like, it's
take
not
him to
for
fucking Galaxy's Edge, man. They're all be all about that shit.
I mean,
I can't wait to go for that.
I don't want to do that. I don't
you'll,
care to do that.
Listen, you'll do whatever
I'm
I tell you to do.
I'm still too butthurt about The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, I mean, enough people fucking bought it. It's still like the number one best-selling Blu-ray right now. So all those, dude, that's what I told you last week. It's like people are still bitching, like, it fucking sucked, but I'm still buying it. Okay, cool. Good for you.
Well, I feel like people are completists, and Star Wars fans are going to buy anything if it has Star Wars on the tin, so.
Totally right.
I'm included in that description.
I will make sure.
So is Justin, because he went out and bought new fucking versions of the goddamn movies for no reason last week.
Not no reason. They're brand new restorations.
For some reason. Not no reason.
And I'm going to 100% talk about them because they're a huge discussion piece. I'll make sure to talk about them on the main show because
you hear that, Nick? A huge discussion piece.
Someone has to talk about shit like that that matters in the home video world on this fucking show.
McClunky.
Listen, Saucy, keep your mouth closed unless you're going to say Bazinga, because you buy just as many Blu-rays as I fucking do. So
that's
shut up.
I don't buy as many.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure.
I'll never know what it's like to be a formatist, because I just, like, I own the movies. Like, I bought the complete Blu-ray set because I didn't own any of them anymore. I used to own the special edition VHSs back in, you know, the 90s when those got released. And I bought each one of the prequels as it came out on DVD, but then I gave those
away. I did the
same
thing, yeah.
At some point. So I bought the Blu-ray box set that came out when Force Awakens was coming out. I haven't bought Force Awakens. I haven't bought Last Jedi. I sure as fuck won't buy Rise of Skywalker. Like, I'll eventually probably pick up, you know, 7 and 8 And I don't have Rogue One or Solo either. I probably wouldn't even buy Solo because I saw it once and I was like, that's fine. I won't ever watch it again.
You know, Rogue I mean,
One
actually,
I would definitely buy, but
the one that I'm the most excited, even though I already own Rogue One and I talked about it, I think last week briefly, but the 4K version I'm like most excited about is Rogue One. And I don't have it yet. I'll probably be grabbing it this Friday because I think it's
best looking Star Wars movie, period.
Best looking. And it's the one that I'm most excited to see on the format. I just think even if it's just the last, you know, third of the movie, it's, oh God, it makes me excited. So I'll look forward to that this weekend. But yeah, so I'm going to make sure to mention that. Just like I said, everyone's sitting at home. These releases came out last week. A lot of video files bought them, and there's a lot of controversy because guess what they did, Saucy? They DNR'd the fucking shit out of the movies. So you didn't ask. I haven't told you. You don't want to hear.
I didn't ask because I don't care.
McClunky.
I'm just kidding.
Whatever.
I care a little bit.
Whatever. You're the one that works at a fucking movie theater and always talks to me about transfers and this and that and whatever. You don't care. You don't have to care. It's fine. You're never going to show these versions at the Alamo once it reopens, so it's fine.
Well, because I can't.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's Disney won't let you. They're like, we'll do what we want with this. But to be clear, to be totally clear on this, these restorations were done and overseen by George Lucas before he handed over Star Wars as a property to Disney.
McClunky. So
that's where that came from. All Lucas. That's right.
Thanks, George Lucas.
He makes the weirdest choices in some of
those
movies.
Thanks, Disney.
I'm very much a special edition apologist. Like, I think there's a lot of good things that were added and done in the special editions, but they're all the subtle things. They're the things that aren't in your face. The bad things about the special editions are like adding the redundant Jabba scene back in. No matter what you make that CGI slug look like, whether you make him look like that ridiculous thing in the 97 special edition release or whatever they've updated it to in even the most recent one, like, it's still a redundant scene because it's still exactly the same scene as the cantina scene with Greedo, so it's pointless. Like, adding things like Vader yelling no at the end of Return of the Jedi, that's probably the
awful
worst thing I've ever heard in my entire life, because
the scene
visually conveys exactly what you're making it try to say. Like, you don't need to have him verbalize anything because it's very, very clear that he's visually like, fuck you, motherfucker. He throws him down a shaft because he's, you know, like, George.
It seems like George Lucas doesn't really understand Star Wars. Like, in the Empire Strikes Back special edition, initially when it was released to theaters, when Luke Skywalker learns that Darth Vader is his father and Darth Vader says, join me or die, Luke lets go and falls down the shaft.
Scream in there, yeah.
And then George Lucas added Luke Skywalker going, as he fell down the shaft.
Ridiculously loud scream. And then it got removed, and then it got added back, and then it got removed. I think it's removed in the Blu-ray editions. I don't think it's in the Blu-ray editions.
Yeah, it's not in the DVD either, but like that just shows like a fundamental misunderstanding of that scene, because Vader
Luke
says,
chooses
join me
to fall. Like,
exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Vader, like, extends his hand over the thing and he's like, join me. And Luke just looks at him and is like, nope. He just nopes straight
die
out of it and falls
yeah
down the shaft. Yeah, he just
exactly
nopes straight out of it. So, yeah, it's, I mean, it's just like, I mean, I guess, like, we should be happy because Disney bought Star Wars because George can't mess with it anymore. I mean,
but at the same time, you could look at what Disney's done with Star Wars since then, and I still see a vocal minority of people that are like, break, we'd love to see what George would have done. We've even talked about it on the show.
I would love to see what George's original plans were for the sequel trilogy.
Yeah,
I'd love to even read a comic book based on those treatments.
Yeah, I mean, you could go either way with it. Again, we've always talked about this, and I don't want to open this fucking can of worms up right now because we could keep going on forever. We've always talked about the fact that George is a great ideas guy. Had he had another person there to help him with these ideas and properly convey them,
he just needed
on screen,
someone else. It's why
someone else to direct the movies. That's all you really need him to do.
That's why you have the original trilogy being as lauded as it is, because it's not just Lucas. It's not just George Lucas.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I'll mention the transfers
There's
a little
a lot of
bit
good
in
things
the main
that he did
section,
do, though.
But
like in The Phantom Menace and like the Blu-ray release, like they replaced that god awful puppet Yoda Like, I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of CGI versus practical effects, but that puppet in the original Phantom Menace was horrifying. Horrifying.
It is, but I'm just glad that I got to see it in theaters the way that it was originally intended, whether it looked good or not. I'm just glad that I got to at least experience a different version of it.
Like I said, I'm a big fan of a lot of the different things that he changed in the special editions or whatever. Like, there's a lot of things, just subtle things that were done in, like, effects-wise, like polishing things up, cleaning things up, that were really, really good. Like, I still remember watching all those, because they had interviews with, like, him, Rick McCallum, and, like, all those people at the beginning of the special editions on those VHSs before you watched them. Like, there was, like, what, a 5-10 minute little interview about the different things they cleaned up and fixed. And, like, a lot of it was just, like, little spot fixes. Like,
well, you'd be surprised, Nick. You'd be surprised.
And they fixed this and they fixed that. And, like, some people are those people that are like, I want the original versions with the see-through cockpits of the
fucking
Hoth speeders.
Well, that's me.
I don't give a fuck.
And that's everybody else.
It's the fucking movie regardless to me, but...
It's not, and I think that you should respect the fact that...
To me, I said.
As a film purist, we're not saying that these new versions shouldn't be available, but very much like me complaining last year and calling Warner Brothers constantly on the phone until I got someone saying, give me the original fucking sound mix of Batman 89, just give them to people as an option. You don't need to make one definitive version. Like, Blade Runner has like a million different versions of it.
I mean, imagine if they released 89 on DVD with a new sound mix and didn't like the only way you could get that original 89 sound mix was the VHS. I would just watch the VHS all the time. I wouldn't care. I just wouldn't care.
I want the best of both worlds. And I think that in today's world, of home video releases, it's very apparent that it's possible and very easy for studios to go, here you go.
It's not too much to ask.
It's very simple. It's a very easy thing
to
be done.
You're too much to ask, Loy Sauce.
So I'm just saying, people should have the option, and studios know it, and they'll make more money off of it if they go, oh, you know what? You can have each version. So the fans that grew up with the special editions can have that, and the fans that grew up with the original versions can finally shut the fuck up. And even though they probably won't, they'll still find fault with it in some way.
You know what they could even do? They could release both side by side, the original theatrical versions and the special editions, and just have different artwork on the covers of each.
And
fans would buy both.
Fans would buy fucking both. They would buy both.
Ladies and gentlemen, you got the sequel trilogy that you got, because ultimately, Lucasfilm, Kathleen Kennedy, and Disney knows that you will put money down on the counter, all the McClunky and every other fucking bunch of bullshit that they have in those movies, you will still pay money for it. You will not speak with your wallet. You will not demand better. You will still make them $1 billion successes at the box office, smash out of the park, because everybody's still got to go see it. Like, everybody that hated The Last Jedi. Okay, not everybody. I'm sure some people didn't, but most of the people that hated The Last Jedi, they still went to the theater to see The Rise of Skywalker.
Most of them
went to the theater. Most of them still were like, oh, here, Disney, take my money. Well, I've got, exactly like we were saying before, you're a completionist. Well, I've got to see how it ends, you know?
Well, I mean, it stood to reason that it would be at least of quality, because the first, I mean, Nick, you were not a fan of The Force Awakens, but we had two good movies. So it stands to reason that, you know, we would have faith at least that it wouldn't be an epic, a disaster of epic proportions, which is what it turned out to be.
This is the same reason why, like,
has there ever been a trilogy that has stumbled so badly in the third part?
Dear God. I mean, plenty. Spider-Man 3,
The Last
Spider-Man,
Stand.
The original Raimi Spider-Man trilogy.
I guess. Spider-Man 3.
No, then something. Listen, are you revealing something secret that you've never told us before? You just said on air, I like Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
Put that on the fucking soundboard, Nick.
There are parts of Spider-Man 3 that are cringe town, that are, cringe city. But for the most part, I mean.
Nah. No. The whole amnesia thing. No, dude, seriously.
That movie would have been great. Like, I mean, the Uncle Ben retcon aside.
Spider-Man 3 talk.
The Uncle Ben retcon aside, because the Uncle Ben retcon is terrible regardless. But everything else in that movie has to do with the fact that the studio and Avi Arad wanted Venom in the movie, because everybody was only contracted for 3 movies. Venom's the big villain that we haven't had in a Spider-Man movie yet. And the only villain in this script is Sandman. Well, we've got to add Venom into it because everybody wants to see Venom in a movie. So Raimi, Raimi was asked about the character during press for Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2, and he both times was like, I fucking hate Venom. Venom's stupid. I don't want Venom in my movies. And then Sony forced Venom on him, so he was like, fine, you're going to get this Venom. You know? And
what you're going to get Topher Grace.
What Raimi did with the character, like, he based it on the Ultimate version, which is, like, not the big Eddie Brock version of it or whatever. And, like, even the effects, like, even that stuff. But, like, the script just, the film just doesn't need him. And it's pointless. And then you add stuff like emo fucking Peter Parker fucking dancing at a club. You know,
well, that's
like,
yeah, that's the result of weird, I think that's the result of Sam Raimi.
That's
saying,
the result of Sam Raimi. Yeah, basically fuck you into the studio being like, OK, assholes, like you want to fuck with my movie? Fuck you. You know, when you give Sam Raimi like all of the keys and when you give Sam Raimi like the goods, you get Spider-Man 2. You know,
when I got that 4K Spider-Man set a few years ago, I never revisited Spider-Man 3. Maybe after we record, I should watch it in fucking Dolby Vision.
I think
it'll look great.
He wanted to add that one last little seal on top of that one. So
Sandman scene though. Yeah, that'll look good.
Normally, again, the pre-roll is reserved for just the patrons, but again, because it's canon quarantine, let's give more content out there for our listeners, for all the fans of the show, just to have more content to listen to. We absolutely appreciate you. We absolutely love you. So we do hope that you enjoyed this random pre-roll discussion of all things ever, period, whatever is what it is. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. But no, hold on. We're not done yet. Hold on. We have to continue this every single week. I told you last week.
Oh, God. I almost forgot.
All right. So Macho Man Randy Savage last week was versus Hulk Hogan.
No, it was Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan last week. That's right. And I picked the Warrior. And you yelled at me because I started talking about the Macho Man, who is the Macho Man.
All right. So I'll give you this then. Macho Man Randy Savage versus Hulk Hogan then.
The Macho Man times like a million times a billion. Who would pick Hogan in that equation? Who?
There are plenty of people that would pick Hogan. There are a lot of people that would
pick
Hogan.
Did they go into a coma in like 1986 and they wake up with their Hulkamania t-shirt on and they're like, is Hulk Hogan still running wild?
But here's the question though. Would the same choice be there if it was Hollywood Hogan versus Hulk Hogan? Hollywood Hogan, though he did all the same moves and shit, was definitely one of the best heels in wrestling history. So it's like,
I wouldn't deny that, but I would still pick the Macho Man.
See,
you know what? Some of the best WCW stuff ever, to come out of the late 90s was the Macho Man DDP feud in like 96, 97, 98. Like those were just amazing.
I love
matches.
That stuff. I love that stuff. I never bought Macho Man as being NWO. I never personally bought that. I felt like it was one of the forced members.
Well, yeah, because they had to get every big member that they had in WCW in the stable because it was just like, oh, look at how powerful they are. They've got all these. But I didn't even care about that. I'm not even talking like NWO affiliation. I won't deny that Hollywood Hogan was a great heel. He really, really was. But man, I'm still taking, even if you're giving me WCW Hogan versus WCW Mach, I'm still taking Mach.
All right.
Because
so
number one, he's the Macho Man. And I still like me and my brother all the time used to do like, there was this promo where like DDP was yelled at him and the Macho Man's in the crowd. He's like, you need to take the bass out of your voice when you're talking about the Macho Man like the dude was a legend on the fucking microphone.
Dude,
absolute
seriously,
legend.
He was. No, he's one of the best promos you'll ever get. You'll ever hear, even now, ever. If you watch one of his promos. But I was going to ask you, did you ever watch that Dark Side of the Ring episode about Macho Man?
No.
Oh, dude, it's great. It's fucking amazing. It's from season one. I watched it the other day while I was
masturbating.
None of my peers are gonna listen to this, so yeah, I watch fucking wrestling stuff
out
while I'm working.
I'll replace it with another word while I was masturbating or
but no, it's brilliant, and it's definitely for all Macho fans, you got to check it out. But so I'll be sure, though, in every other week to not include Macho Man, because now I remember that's why I've been having dreams about fucking Macho Man, Randy Savage, and Slim Jim commercials every fucking night, is because that's what you couldn't stop talking about. So, all right. So between Hogan and Macho Man,
I still try to use that gif every week, at least once a week, of the Macho Man pulling out the little creamers and being like, the cream rises to the top.
And hey, man, we're talking about
Gene's face every time was just,
we're talking about Sam Raimi Spidey here too, and he's Bonesaw is ready.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I used to have that on the soundboard. Do I still have it on here? I gotta find it. Hang on, I've got it somewhere. Fuck you, I will add it in here, and this is happening now.
Bonesaw is ready.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Baby.
Doesn't even matter. Doesn't even matter. Name me one
there it is.
Hulk Hogan film appearance better than Bonesaw in Spider-Man.
Again, me and Saucy are going to go back to the one and only.
Christ, I was frozen today.
You know what? Don't forget, Undertaker's also in Suburban Commando. So that was his film debut. I need that on 4K Ultra H fucking D. Give me that shit, studios. Please. Fucking Hulkster Vision, brother.
Oh my God in heaven. So yeah, patrons and all regular listeners, I guess. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in to the pre-roll of the show. Like I said, this might jam out as early as tomorrow. I'm not 100% sure when this will jam out. I know, Loy Sauce. Craziness abounds. Craziness. But we're going to jump over into the main show, where hashtag Canon Quarantine continues, ladies and gentlemen, with a review of the Jean-Claude Van Damme vehicle kickboxer. And my God in heaven, there's a lot to talk about with kickboxers. So thank you very much for listening to our fun pre-roll. We don't really ever do much else to roll this out. So the end. Goodbye. That was a perfect chance for you to slide right in there, Loy Sauce, and say,
"No,
God damn it!
He's having a hard time with this, and I think you just need to put it on the soundboard."
Don't want to keep saying "bazinga."
Put that on the soundboard. I don't want to keep saying "bazinga." Include that with the "I want to see a kid get strangled." I don't want to keep saying "bazinga."
Well, I'll have it. I'll have him say "bazinga," and then I'll have him at the end, like after 50 times I push it, then I push the one where he's like, "I don't want to keep saying bazinga." Like, it's just one of those things. You guys know how this stuff works.
I do.
Bazinga.
Saucy, go get your beer, boy. Go get it. Go get it.
No.
You're not driving anywhere. You're not doing anything. He
sucked the blood from the penis and put the balls in his mouth.
This is the only recreation time I have with friends. I need to pretend like we're all hanging out together, which requires you to drink.
It doesn't. It literally doesn't.
But I enjoy hanging out with you more when you're drinking.
That's the meanest thing anyone's ever said to me. That's quite possibly the meanest thing anyone has ever said to me.
I'm so happy I have you as my best friend.
I didn't say that I like hanging out with you more when I'm drinking. I said I like hanging out with you more when you're drinking.
That's worse.
No, it's not.
That's insinuating social that, that's lubricant, Loy Sauce.
That's insinuating that you don't like my personality
now
normally.
Now you go and die.
Dude, alcohol only accentuates your personality and mine and anyone else's. Alcohol doesn't change you. It makes you more of who you are. Also, we hung out for the first time ever and we drank, and that's been our pastime.
You fucking pile of shit.
You don't have to. It's okay. I know you like to eat a bunch of fucking junk food. So
he did eat a whole box of Peeps, he said.
I did.
And you had fucking cake too, you
I did have cake.
Bastard. Jesus Christ. What'd you have for dinner? Fucking pizza too, right? Yep.
No.
Or something. Spaghetti meatballs.
Also cake.
Chicken parmesan.